Janet Hoff and the WRJN News Center. Clear tonight, some fog after midnight, lows in the upper 50s. Full forecast details are coming up. Nearly three dozen We Energies employees left the Racine Service Center on Northwestern Avenue in the fog this morning to travel to the southeast to help get the power back on in the wake of Hurricane Irma. Utility spokesperson Kathy Schultz says the first stop for the convoy of nearly 20 trucks is Georgia. She says they don't know where they'll be staying or under what conditions, noting some who worked on the East Coast after Hurricane Sandy slept in trailers.
It could very well be a hardship. Plus, they're saying goodbye to their families for a couple of weeks, saying goodbye to kids, missing soccer games, that sort of thing. But you know what? They're happy to do it because at the end of the day, this is why they got into this line of work. You talk to any of these guys and they'll say that that's why they do what they do. They really enjoy helping people. They want to get the lights back on.
34 We Energies employees are making the trip, most of them line mechanics with about a half dozen support staff. It's expected they'll be gone for about 2 weeks. The six candidates for Racine mayor in next Tuesday's special election primary took part in a two-hour forum inside the Cesar Chavez Community Center at Douglas Park before a crowd of about 150. On the proposed Lakefront Event Center, Wally Rendon said it could be a good idea, but in his words, this is not a hockey city. Austin Rodriguez said there should be more private investment while the proposal should be amended. Fabi Maldonado is against it because of additional taxpayer debt.
Our lights are already being shut off. The people that are going to get affected the most are the poor, the vulnerable in our city. So yeah, this arena is a terrible idea. Again, I'm also not anti-development, but let's not put ourselves in monstrous debt.
Melvin Hargrove opposed it from the start, saying the festival site and Memorial Hall need better utilization.
If you're not using what you have right now, it makes no sense to then build something bigger with the mentality that if you build it, they will come. I don't believe that. I believe you have to prove that it is worthy of being built in order to be filled up. And at this point, that was not going to happen. And so I'm not against development. I'm for smart development.
Sandy Widener said she's not personally opposed, but the citizens of Racine should have a voice in the process. Corey Mason recently came out against it because of the cost to taxpayers who apparently do not want it. Other topics covered include the city's role in Foxconn, greater diversity on city committees and boards, as well as equality for the LGBT community. The top two vote-getters from the September 19th primary will square off in the October 17th general election, the winner taking over the mayor's job from Dennis Weiser on November 7th and filling out the rest of John Dickert's term until April 2019. The Mount Pleasant Village Board holds a special meeting tonight at 6:30 regarding the search for a new village administrator. It will be a closed session, as allowed by state law, with the agenda listing the board returning to open session afterward and consideration of any motions made on the subject. A boarded-up Racine apartment building just northeast of City Hall on 6th Street will need asbestos treatment. The Finance and Personnel Committee supporting the recommendation of purchasing agent Kathy Casper to go with the second lowest bidder. Casper explained it was a cooperative decision based on the lowest bid simply not being realistic at just $5,500.
I discussed this bid result with Ken Plasky and with Linda Falenz of LF Green, who is the person that actually does our asbestos inspections. And I actually did call the DNR as well and talked to Mr. Mark Davis. And we all felt that the lowest bid was irresponsible and could not cover the scope of work.
Balestrieri's Environmental and Development's $34,600 bid recommendation goes to the Common Council for a final vote September 20th. The property owned by R&N Investments and Holdings was issued a raise order by City Building Inspector Ken Plasky back in May, and the residents relocated because of what Casper indicated was the seriousness of the asbestos problem. The Kenosha Area Chamber of Commerce will hold a legislative breakfast sponsored by AT&T on Tuesday, September 26th, starting at 7 a.m. at the Kenosha Country Club, with John Koskinen, chief economist for the Wisconsin Department of Revenue, listed as the featured speaker. Koskinen has testified before multiple standing committees of the state legislature about Wisconsin's economic outlook, as well as to various groups around the state. The Kenosha Area Chamber of Commerce is taking registration for the legislative breakfast. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.